Welcome to The Stuff, the podcast where you and I literally talk about what else? Stuff. This is your comedic escapist podcast show, and I'm your host, Ian Walker. Now, let's go talk about some stuff. What is good, everybody? This is Ian Walker, Stuff Podcast Show, Season 6, Episode 2. And we are out here. We are back, ladies and gentlemen, with another new episode. I had an amazing weekend. We got a lot to unpack, a lot to talk about, a lot to uncover and everything. This week, I was, again, some of you know, if you guys are listening for the first time during the start of the season or anything like that, you guys know that I am a full-time artist. I'm a comic book creator, full-time artist, painter, all of those things. And this weekend, I had the privilege of going to GalaxyCon Austin 2023. Now, this is the first convention I've been to in over 10 years. Okay. The last con I went to, if I remember correctly, was so stinking atrocious. Actually, no, that wasn't the bad one. The last con I went to was in Santa Rosa back in 2014. I believe it was. I'm not sure. I don't remember right off the top. But it's been quite a long time. And I want to say it's 2013, actually. And that one was fine. But there was a convention that I went to when I lived in California in San Jose called the Big Wow Con. And let me tell you something, man. It was the worst convention I had ever gone to. Every once in a while, my good friend Brandon and I, we talk about that. And he just cracks up laughing. Those of you guys who are artists, who go to these artist alley things, know that you need to go prepared. You need to bring prints. You need to bring your artwork. You need to bring books. You need to bring all of those things. But your boy, with the lack of experience that he had, came and went with nothing but original artwork, my con banner, and hopes and dreams. Okay. It was bad. It was atrocious. It was so bad that I remember having two artists sitting next to me. And I remember having an artist that was sitting next to me who was selling prints for like $10 a pop. They were just 8.5 by 11 prints, $10 a pop. People were looking at my stuff and looked at my photo. Oh, that's nice. Oh, yeah, you could draw really good. Yeah. Do you have any prints? And I'm sitting there. Nah, man, I ain't got no prints, man. I don't got that. I got these. I got these pictures. Dude, it was so bad. It was bad. And they look at me, nod, you know, and go, And they go to the table right next to me. And they buy like 4 or 5 prints from this cat, dude. I remember sitting there next to this dude. So salty. Just bitter. Let me tell you something. My sodium content was so high. I gave myself high blood pressure. It was trash, bro. And then I had another guy that was right across the way, kind of catty corner. Really nice dude. And mind you, the guys next to me, they were nice dudes. The guy next to me actually even had a comic book. And he was selling that along with all of his prints and stuff. But the guy straight across from me had like these weird, like, robots or something like that that he was drawing. And for some reason, man, people were just digging it. They were like, man, this is so amazing. These are so inventive, blah, blah, blah. Again, he was selling his prints, $10 a pop, 8.5 by 11, just regular old stinking prints. And dude was selling a grip. I remember at some point during the show, you know, he was like, hey, man, how are you doing so far? I'm like, oh, I didn't make any sales, you know, whatever. I remember I was so upset and depressed. I didn't eat. I didn't drink no water. I was just stewing in the juices of my bitterness, dude. I was marinating in that salt, dude, in that salt water, dude. Made of my own tears, man. I was so angry. And he's like, hey, man, it's gonna get better. Don't worry, man. You're a good artist, man. You know that little facetious little lying they do in order to kind of that false encouragement, dude. When you know full well they're looking at you and they're thinking in their head, man, this dude ain't gonna make nothing. But they give you that false confidence and that false encouragement, dude. Oh my God. I had that to the fullest effect in the world, man. And he's like, yeah. So the convention goes on, and the end of the first day happens. My boy Brandon is with me. He's like looking at this thing like, he's looking at me the whole time, dude, just like, what? Like, you have nothing, bro? He was just in shock because he came there to, quote, help me, you know? But it was nothing to help because I didn't even have anything, you know? So he was pretty much there just keeping me company. And I powered through it the first day. The second day, I was stewing in my juices, man, of bitterness, bro. It was bad. And I remember after that second day, dude was like, hey, man, I did great today. I made over $500 in commissions. The guy next to me, yeah, man, I made about $300-$400, man. Hey, Ian, what did you make? And I just glared at him, bro. And I remember making $8 that day, dude. I sold one of my old sketchbooks. And that's it. That was it. And I was like, yeah, man, I didn't make much today. Oh, man, that's like, well, you know what, man, you're going to do better. Man, I remember in my head, dude, I had a little person inside of me, dude, just shattering windows, getting mad, so angry. I didn't even go back the third day. It was a 3-day convention. I didn't even go back the third day. I was so angry. I was so upset and hot at the situation. I didn't even bother to go back. I remember it was super hot in the venue too, so I swear I had a heat stroke. I was dehydrated. I was angry. It was just the worst thing ever, man. And so all of that to say, that's 6 minutes and 30 seconds to say that convention kind of gave me a little PTSD. Fast forward going to the con in Santa Rosa, I didn't make very much there either. I met some cool people and, you know, sold a few things, but again, it wasn't as successful. People weren't as interested in what I had to offer at that convention. And so, you know, I took a break from conventions for a long time. So fast forward 10 years later, we're now here, moved to Texas, been here for about a year and a half, started going full time with my art in March, and preparing by means of going to small markets, figuring out my setup, how I wanted everything to go, because I used these small venues as a way to practice without going in cold to a convention. So, I practiced my setups. I did, had my inventory, started building up my inventory, my stickers, my prints, developing my comic book in the meantime so I could have something to present and show to people, all of that type stuff. And so finally, now fast forward 6 months later, in September, first Labor Day weekend, having the first GalaxyCon in Austin, which is one of the big conventions in Austin. It's a mixed media convention. Let me tell you something. The celebrity panels for this year at this place was stacked. It had everybody from Boy Meets World, everybody from Star Trek, everybody from a few other shows. Dora the Explorer was there. The Powers. Austin St. John was there. Giancarlo, I'm forgetting his name right now. The brother from Breaking Bad. Giancarlo Esposito, there you go, Do the Right Thing. And, you know, just so many actors. Ming-Na Wen, you had Topanga was there. I mean, it was crazy. I mean, and it was a very, very, very impressive panel this year. People really went there to see a lot of the fans. And or a lot of the celebrities that were there. But I will say that a lot of them did also come to get some art. It was a very mixed bag as far as how everything went. The first day on Friday was very slow. Didn't hardly make nothing. Made up only like $50. But that was to be expected. A lot of people were like looky-loos and kind of seeing what they were interested in. A lot of people, so I took that time, instead of getting discouraged, I kind of set my mind up and kind of get myself in the mindset saying, you know what, you're not going to sell anything on Friday. People are just going to come here. Either they're going to be there for that day and get exactly what they want and dip, or they're here for all 3 days, so you'll probably get a chance to see them again later. So that's what I did. I took that opportunity to pretty much tell people about my book. Anybody who put their hands on my art, pretty much, I made sure they left with a business card and all my contact information, everything like that. And it was really cool. Saturday, though, that is when things turn around as far as sales are concerned. I had a very, very good day on Saturday. Again, got my card in a lot of hands. My comic book Pantheon is the project that I'm working on in my personal comic book studio, Obsidian Studios. And Pantheon number one is out. It's out in my, you know, my local, in my comic book page, theartofendwalker.com. If you guys want to go there and check that out and get a copy of that. Came out in June. And then issue two is getting ready to come out in October this year. Anyway, so having that book there, got issue one in a lot of people's hands, having them try it out and see what they think, asking them to just please give me some feedback on the book, whether they liked it or not. Very, very good day. Met a lot of people. I had one guy, shout outs to John. He came in every day. He came to our table every single day in each one of his different cosplays every day. The first day, he was the Mad Hatter. The second day, he came as Chucky from Child's Play. And then the third day, he came as the Riddler. And his third day costume as the Riddler was the best costume. And it was funny because he said that was his alternate costume, his backup, the one he didn't care about the most. But that's the one he got the most attention at. But it was funny. He would come to our table. He would talk. And he would do the weird lingering thing and hanging out, kind of hovering a bit. Say something, hover. But then he bought a buttload of stuff. Like, he came Saturday and Sunday and bought a buttload of prints from me, which was super cool. So, you know, and for the first time being there in 10 years, I wanted to make sure that I kind of made a presence of some sort. So my art is very bright. It's very colorful, very, you know, jubilant. But at the same time with my style, you know, very, you know, serious tone, very rough. So it's a nice combination along with my cartoon artwork, my comic book, a lot of cartoon properties, comic book properties and fan art and things of that nature and anime. All of that. So it was a very mixed bag, and I had a lot of art that and characters that a lot of people don't see there. So a lot of people liked my art for that reason, because they found that I did artwork of characters that either people don't see anymore or anything like that. So it was nice because my stuff really did appeal to an older audience in a lot of ways, or they were young people but old enough to remember the older things. Like, for instance, I have a Powerline print. And if anybody's familiar with the Goofy movie, they know who Powerline is. You know, Goofy's like the secondary character in the Goofy movie. Everybody remembers Powerline. So I did a Powerline print that was based off of Michael Jackson. And everybody that saw it flipped out. And it was like, oh my God, it's Powerline. That's so cool. Or they saw the Mighty Mouse print that I did. Everybody loved that and flipped out. They saw my Inspector Gadget. They liked that. They flipped out. And, you know, my take is putting a more serious spin on them. My Mario Brothers print, people dug that. So it was a lot of things that the older audience has. And then people got the money, right? So who better than to, you know, have like your stuff than the people that actually got the money to spend it? You know, so that was really neat. It was really cool. And then having that combination of things that are both, you know, old but also very new that people were very familiar with. I had to write a list of things to put down for, definitely for my future inventory, for anime properties, for, you know, other superheroes and things that I need to do to appeal to that, because I do enjoy doing the fan art. But I was able to strike a nice balance between the fan art and yet at the same time being able to show people my original work by means of my comic book, showing off Pantheon, letting people know about Obsidian Studios, and letting them have a taste of what's in store for that. And a lot of people were impressed and glad that a second issue is coming out really soon, especially since I do everything by myself. I write, draw everything myself on the book. So having that, you know, and being able to do it full time, that's something that was I'm able to do. So so that was that as far as the sales are concerned. As far as the celebrities are concerned, kind of going back to that, I met some cool, cool celebrities. Again, there were so many celebrities there that, you know, I couldn't really, I couldn't really you know, get to everybody. I had to really pick and choose who I wanted to talk to. And one of my biggest goals was to meet The Flash. And The Flash was played in the 90s, but this is The Flash from the 90s, played by John Wesley Shipp. And if anybody remembers The Flash TV show from the 90s, that show was fire. And it was well before its time, technology-wise, everything. Only lasted one season, and only lasted one season, not because it was trash, but because it cost too much money to make. The special effects were way too advanced for its time. They really couldn't afford the show, because every episode, they had to up themselves even more. They had to, you know, do better than the last episode. So it just got too expensive. And so, you know, it's one of those legendary TV shows that's on. And John Wesley Shipp as The Flash has always been my childhood Flash. When I think of The Flash, he is who I think of. John Wesley Shipp. He was the first Barry Allen, even though Barry Allen in the comic books is a blonde. He was the first Barry Allen that was a brunette, brown, had brown hair. And so it's funny because ever since he was The Flash, every Flash thereafter depicted on TV has had brown hair. You know, even though Barry Allen is a blonde. So if that don't tell you something, it should. I usually do well around celebrities. I don't get starstruck really when it comes to celebrities. People may get flustered, you know, but I tend to talk to them, you know, treat them like normal human beings. Because as far as I'm concerned, if you poo just like I go poo, you ain't nobody special. I mean, yeah, you do some stuff on TV. That's nice. That's really neat. But you go doodle just like I go doodle. So, I mean, it ain't, you still got to answer to God just like I do. You got a mama you got to answer to just like I do. Ain't nobody different. But this dude, John Wesley Shipp, let me tell you something. Your boy geeked out. This is the first time in my entire life, okay, that I ever, like, geeked out and fanboyed over a celebrity, meeting John Wesley Shipp. I had the stupidest grin on my face. I could just feel it. I felt stupid. I was shaking, and I don't do that, but I was so happy to see this guy. And guys, John Shipp is such a nice, down-to-earth dude. He is so stinking nice. And if you guys check out the Instagram on my Instagram, ID Walker Art, you guys will see I was able to take a selfie with him. I got an autographed photo from the old Flash TV show and had him sign it. And it was just one of the most coolest experiences. I was grinning ear to ear. I met him on Saturday. I was grinning ear to ear the rest of the day on Saturday. I mean, it was already good, but then to top that off, I had that happen. It was so sick. And then, sidebar, we go to Chipotle after the whole con is over. Then we go, we get burrito bowls, my wife and I. Shout out to my beautiful wife, Audrey. We go to Chipotle. We get burrito bowls, and we get some chips and queso. And I get double meats because I need more protein. They didn't charge me for the double meats. And I got free chips and queso. So, I mean, on top of that, and that stuff is expensive, y'all. If y'all go to Chipotle and get a double meats burrito bowl, that's expensive. Okay. And then chips and queso, Lord, that's expensive too, man. And we got large. And we didn't get charged. So, I mean, top that off, man. I met The Flash and we got free chips and queso with double meats burrito bowl. Yes, please. I was stoked. So that was a good day. That was a good, good day. And then later that day, I also met David Ramsey. Now, if those of you who may or may not be familiar with David Ramsey, if you've watched Arrow, he played John Diggle, who was the Flash's bodyguard / assistant, who later on became the Guardian, became a hero in his own right on the show as the show progressed forward. And that dude, too, I saw him actually on the way coming out of the bathroom. And I remember saying, I saw him and I said, yo, Diggle, man, they did you dirty with that Green Lantern storyline. Because when the show first came on, he said, my name is John. I remember saying to myself, I said, that dude is going to be the Green Lantern. Because in the comic book continuity, Green Lantern, Hal Jordan, and Oliver Queen are best friends. Okay? So, of course, for TV, they're going to change it up a little bit. We know that John Stewart is a Green Lantern. He's a black dude. And so having him work with Green Lantern, or Green Arrow, I was like, he's going to eventually become the Green Lantern somehow. I don't know how, but he's going to be Green Lantern. And sure enough, later on, they teased it. But they did it dirty and then ended up to be where it not being the case. Now, rumor has it that supposedly they're still trying to work that out. But with the whole DC reboot, I really doubt that's something that's going to go on. And we got a little bit more information today, kind of overhearing, because I talked to him again today about that. And he's kind of saying the whole DC EU reboot kind of scrapped all of those plans. Everybody got fired. Everybody from there was just scrapped. And from his mouth, he said it was a good thing. So he's not salty about it at all, which is cool. I think he saw the direction where things were going and perhaps thought, you know, this was a good direction for them to take. So that in and of itself is kind of shows where things were. If you have an actor that's, you know, this, even though the situation sucks, they're okay with the hard reboot, meaning even them losing their jobs or whatever, that must mean that there was some things behind the scenes that were going on, some indecisiveness, some decision making that was really wonky and would have probably ended up worse had everything not been scrapped by James Gunn and the whole team there at DC, in the movie area of Warner Bros. Discovery and that whole thing. So, but what was cool was I was able to get my book, Pantheon. I made it a mission to get my book into the hands of Austin St. John, who's the original Red Power Ranger. And I even picked up his book. And I got my book in the hands of John Wesley Shipp, The Flash. So I wanted him to do it. I just gave it to him. I was like, hey, here. And I got in the hands of David Ramsey, Diggle. So, look, I'm not expecting anything, okay? But I put it in their hands with the thought and the mindset of whatever happens, happens. If they like the story and they like it and they want to do something or contact me about something, whatever happens, happens. But I had a mission, and that mission was accomplished. I didn't get it in the hands of one person, but literally this person, Giancarlo Esposito, he had a line the entire time he was there in the building. It was like no way that I would have been able to sneak that there without get some kind of side eye from everybody else. And I didn't want to, get a little weird situation there, you know, trying to smuggle him something or whatever. So I had to let that one go. But again, if something ever happens in the future, if they read the book, if whatever, then, you know, cool. So, GalaxyCon was a wonderful experience. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I can't wait. We will definitely be doing it again next year, my wife and I. And it was just a wonderful and great experience. I can't recommend it more. The only downside, I know a lot of people were waiting outside. A lot of the people that were getting a little pissed off because, you know, it's super hot out there. It was like 100, 105 degrees throughout that weekend. You know, people in costumes. The line went around the corner two times. So they said it covered three quarters of the block, the line. So, and that was on Saturday. Sunday wasn't too bad, but Saturday was supposedly really bad. So that was the only thing. They put us artists way in the back, which was both a good and a bad thing. I was way in the back. I was in the butt crack back. I was like way back there, man. But people made their way back there and they found me. They liked my work, and people that did like me make sure that they came back. I had one seller, again, my guy John, and I had another gentleman that came and saw my work as well. I met a guy named Cy Foster who is an author, and he bought my book, and he really liked it. And then he would tell people, even though he was selling his book, he was telling people to go check out my comic book. And so it was really cool. The connections were incredible. Met a fella named Bradford Smith. Great guy. Has a cool book out. I'm going to be talking about that on my podcast, Chillin' Sketch Podcast, and reviewing that indie book. And so once I get done with that, I'll be doing a review on that book and giving him a shout as well. But I met a whole lot of cool people this weekend. It was really neat. And I really, really, really enjoyed everything about it. So with that said, we're done with that segment. We'll move on to our next topic for discussion. Didn't get too many answers on the Instagram. I honestly think mostly because people are like, wait, this dude's got a poll up. He ain't had a podcast in a minute. Now you expect me to answer all these questions and stuff. But and that's okay. I get it. I ain't been around in a while. I haven't had a podcast show in a minute. So, you know, those of you who are leery about, you know, answering the questions on the Instagram, I get it. But let me tell you something. Next time I put up a poll, next time I put up a question and answer, I need y'all to go ahead and answer it, okay? Because we out here, okay? So, yeah, go ahead and do that. But the question was, the top three animes regarding fight, story, and animation. And like I said, I didn't get any answers to that, but I have my top three that I want to share. So it's not going to be too long. I'll give a synopsis of them and then tell you why I like them. So the number one anime for me right now is My Hero Academia. Those of you who know me, I'm a huge superhero fanboy, superhero nerd, DC fanboy, all of that stuff. Okay. My Hero Academia is the best superhero story ever told. There's never been, this is a story written by Kohei Hirokoshi. My Hero Academia is the name of this manga and the name of the anime that it is based off of. You guys need to go check this out. If you've never read manga before, okay, if you've never watched anime before, if you want to break into watching it for the first time, My Hero Academia, Kohei Hirokoshi, okay. Go find it. It's superheroes. You can relate to it. Why? Y'all watch Marvel Cinematic Universe. Y'all know what a superhero is, okay? But you guys want something with an impactful story, okay? This is about a story about a world where people all have superpowers. It could be the dumbest superpower, where the dude, a person can, you know, foot fungus can make somebody faint for 34 hours or something. It's a quirk. They call them quirks instead of superpowers. So everybody has a quirk. They can have something as dumb as like that, or have something as cool as, you know, they're able to split atoms. You know, whatever the case is, everybody on Earth has quirks. And the story is about a bunch of people who everyone aspires to be a hero of some sort. And in order to do this, you have to go to hero training or hero school or hero university in order to learn how to become a pro hero. So the story is revolved around a few people, a whole lot of characters, actually. But the main characters of the story are two individuals by the name of Deku or Izuku Midoriya and All Might, okay, who is called Toshinori Yagi, okay? And they have a relationship where we find that this superhero is the number one superhero in the entire world, and he has the ability to pass his quirk on to another person, and he passes his quirk on to a kid who was born without a quirk, who does not have powers. He's a normal human being, the rare 20% or 10% in the population that does not have superpowers. So he passes his quirk, his powers, onto him, and he begins to have all of these same powers as this hero All Might. And the story goes into how these two's relationship builds and how he gets to meet new people, their rivals, how they talk, and, you know, how they grow. The surrounding characters around them, you learn about who they are. You begin to care about them. The villains that pop up, you learn about who they are. You begin to care about them. Their stories are so well thought out and put together. It is so good. It is so incredible. The fights in there are some superhero fights that they're comic book level superhero fights on the screen if you're watching the anime. I mean, they are incredible. I've never been able to see, and only I feel like the Japanese can pull off, telling a story with multiple characters where you want to like all the characters and when you care about all the characters, whether they're heroes or villains. Everyone has a motivation for what they do that makes the utmost sense a lot of times. And even if it doesn't make sense, it's something that works because it's coherent to their personality types or whatever. So it all works. And you as a character are caring about all of these people. I've never seen a superhero story do that except with a very rare exception of maybe the Bat Family in DC. And every once in a while they'll go off the rails. But that's the closest thing I've seen to that. And this is with about, you know, 10-20 plus characters, okay? So for number one, My Hero Academia, I highly recommend it, okay? Second one for me is an anime called The Giver. The Giver is a character that has this super suit that when he hits this thing called a control metal, it's like an alien suit. He hits this button on this alien device that transforms him and puts him in this suit. It's like an organic Iron Man suit, if you will, if I had to describe it in simpler terms. And it allows him to fight these monstrous creatures called Zoonoids. And again, that's about him, this character, and his best friend and his sister kind of working together to try to uncover the mysteries of this organization who's created these Zoonoids, these monsters, uncovering their secrets, finding out their origins, and trying to prevent them from taking over the world with all these monsters and everything like that. Super dope, super cool, little bit on the ultraviolent side, so it ain't for the kids, ain't for the chillins, and those sensitive to a little bit. But that is one of the coolest animes I've seen. There's a newer version that came out that is a lot more tame, but it originally came out back in the 80s. And it had a rebirth in the 2000s. And so I've got both versions. And both versions are great. And they're a lot of fun to me. So check that out, The Giver. I forget the author of that one, but that is a really good one as well. And then finally is another more mature anime manga is called Ninja Scroll. Ninja Scroll, after Dragon Ball Z, Ninja Scroll was the second anime I was ever introduced to. Ninja Scroll is fire. It's about this, you know, samurai. I haven't seen it in a while. I need to go back and look at it again. But there was about this lone samurai who goes and pretty much fights the injustices of people where he fights. He's just a wandering, traveling samurai that, you know, takes on a situation. He finds this chick who's, you know, kind of like a damsel in distress. You know, he falls in love with her. She falls in love with him. But he's trying to make sure that he lives up to his code. He's the one to get distracted, all of that. And it's just really cool. It has the coolest animation, coolest fight scenes, very intense, more adultish, I will tell you that. It is pretty adultish, so, you know, not for the chilling. I probably shouldn't even looked at it, but it was a great anime at the time, real talk. And so that was one of those animes that really got me into the genre of anime. And everything like that. Anime is just a great genre altogether. The storytelling that the Japanese are capable of is just mind-blowing. And when I go into telling my stories, I really try to take a cue from the Japanese. Not just getting a concept and just kind of rolling with it and just seeing what happens, but actually really thinking it through. Thinking about the different paths that it could go down. Because I firmly believe that's what they do. They really think about, you know, they'll come up with a concept. They'll think about where that's going to take the character, how that's going to affect not only the character, but the people around them, how that's going to affect the world. I mean, they dig so deep in regard to their storytelling. You know, it's not just a surface level kind of selfish viewpoint of anything. And it makes you think provocatively, even if it's a simple subject. You know, they get you into deep thinking. So when it comes to me creating Pantheon, I really wanted to try to follow in that vein of creating a story that's really different. Again, familiar, because honestly, not everything is brand new. But taking something that you might be familiar, a concept with it, but changing the twist and delving deeper into that subject can make a whole new story that is interesting. So thinking about creating a superhero that's trying to repent for the sins of his alien brothers, you know, which is, you know, pretty much the storyline of Pantheon, and figuring out his journey in that, you know, that's a whole recipe for something really new. And it's something that people do really think is really neat and really are sinking their teeth in, which I'm extremely glad for. But, so yeah, I really encourage you, you know, there's a lot of mangas out there and a lot of animes out there right now. I know One Piece is the most popular one right now. They got a Netflix series that just came out. I'm starting to watch that a little bit. I ain't gonna lie. I'm a little bit bored, but I'm gonna go through it just so that I can form a valid opinion. I'm not the biggest One Piece fan. I have a problem with that anime and the fact that it has like over 30,000 episodes, supposedly. It has hundreds of episodes. And for me, I feel like if you can't tell a story from beginning, middle to end, you don't know how to tell a story. That's one of the mangas and animes that I'm not particularly fond of. They have cool characters, you know, but it does not keep me roped in. They have cool storylines, some cool storylines, whatever. And I guess maybe that's what I've got to do. I've got to get around that and find the storylines that I like. I have another artist that I know in Canada who's really into One Piece, and he swears it's the best thing ever. I personally don't agree, but he's crazy fanboy for it. But he really knows his stuff when it comes to One Piece, and could definitely guide you through. But I just don't have the patience for it. But I'll probably watch the Netflix series, and I'll watch, you know, pick or choose through some of the arcs, I guess, once I figure out how to do that, to get an idea. Especially since I'm doing fan art and stuff like that, I gotta have an understanding of the character. So I'll eventually do that one day, but we'll see. But yeah, One Piece is a popular one. Demon Slayer is another popular one. Naruto is another popular one. Avatar, of course, everybody enjoys that. There's a lot of them out there. So whatever tickles your fancy, whatever you think is awesome, you know, definitely check it out. See if it floats your boat, if it's up your alley. If it's not, it's cool. There's nothing wrong with that. It's perfectly fine. But if it is, you know, then hey, definitely check it out. Okay. So that's all for this week. I'm going to go ahead and end the show on that note today. Thank you all so much for listening and hanging out with me today, hearing me ramble on about the GalaxyCon and talk about my top three favorite animes. I would love to get your opinion on that. What are your top three favorite animes or manga books? Just to see what your opinions are. I'd love to hear them if you like. And on the Instagram stories, I will have another subject question, audience participation question, that I'll use to talk about for next week's show and some other shows in the future. So I do have some subjects I want to talk about too, which I will talk about those, but I'll have those questions and answers up and have them primed and ready for future episodes of the Stuff Podcast Show. I'm really going to try to make sure that I stay consistent with the season. I know the seasons prior, life has happened. I allowed to get things get in the way. But seeing that I'm doing art full time, I have a lot more time to do a lot of these things. So I'm going to make sure I do that. And so if you like what you're hearing and you want to help me in this cause, trying to continue to make the Stuff Podcast Show a reality all day, please do so by going to the Patreon page, the Stuff Podcast Show, or patreon.com/the Stuff Podcast Show. Check that out. Subscribe, get early access. I'm going to start doing video podcasts and things like that. So your help in getting this, keeping this podcast going will be so great, and it would be greatly appreciated. That'll get you access to some movie nights I'm going to start doing soon once I start getting patrons. I'm going to start doing movie nights. We're going to start doing other activities, live shows where I get to interact with you and the audience, having live chat shows strictly for the patrons and things of that nature, and a lot of this or that. So in next week, we're going to go back to some this or that. So I'll actually go ahead and put that also up on the Stuff Podcast Show page on Instagram with some this or that's. So hook me up with some this or that so we could talk about those, and I'll go through those in next week's segments and the segments thereafter. Anyways, guys, with that said, thank you all so much for joining me. Again, head over to patreon.com/thestuffpodcastshow. Put in your donations, spread the word about the podcast, and that's it. You guys have a wonderful day, a wonderful rest of the week. Take care of yourselves and each other, and I'll talk to you guys next week. You have a wonderful day.